Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning is part of our second lesson in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that includes these words. I give you this charge, preach the Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, what is the first thing that you want visitors to notice when they enter your home? Or to turn it around, what is the first feature or features you notice when you enter someone else's house? Your answers to those questions speaks volumes about what you and the other owners hold valuable. Maybe it's really good furniture. Maybe it's expensive paintings. Perhaps it's pictures of family on the end tables and coffee tables. Now, apply that principle to a church sanctuary. What feature or features do you notice right away when you enter the nave of another church? What feature or features do we want visitors to have their eyes fall upon when they come to church here at Bethlehem? Over the next 4 weeks, we'll be talking about how our sanctuary, how our nave, both focuses and reflects our Christian faith and our Lutheran practice. This is a good time to do that because the scripture readings for the next 4 Sundays, counting today, lend themselves well to such a review. And we'll begin this morning by talking about the most important feature of our Christian and Lutheran worship. The Apostle Paul gets us there with his charge to Timothy. Paul's charge to Timothy, preach the Word. First of all, to preach the Word in light of the near appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, and preach the Word in view of false prophets. The Word of God is the focus of all our public worship. The Apostle Paul reminded young Timothy of that in this second letter. We notice that that's true, don't we, in all of the liturgy that we use. It's true in the hymns that we sing. But it's especially true in what comes from the pulpit. In our church, front and center, well, maybe a little off center, is the pulpit. Or in our case, what we call an ambo. And that's usually what you call the preaching place when there's no lectern in the church. It's not uncommon in some of our older churches to have the pulpit elevated about halfway up the wall in the front of the sanctuary. In my brother's church and Dave's church where he grew up, Salem, outside of Ann Arbor, that is the case. And Salem isn't only the oldest Wells church in the state of Michigan, it's actually the oldest Lutheran church of any kind in the state of Michigan. But that pulpit's not there, and our ambo here, because God gives us some specific commands. God doesn't give us some building plans that we're supposed to use about where we're supposed to put the pulpit. But it is in front and center, because it says to the members, it says to the visitors, the preaching of God's Word is the most important thing in public worship. It is from this place that our pastor preaches the law and the gospel. It is from this place that the pastor says, "Thus says the Lord." That was the charge that Paul had given his young protege as he prepared to be executed. But Paul hadn't waited just till then. In his first epistle, he wrote to Timothy, "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching." Everything that Timothy was to do in the carrying out, in the discharging of the duties of his ministry, was to revolve around the preaching of God's Word. When Timothy stood before God's people, he wasn't to share with them his own ideas about life. He wasn't there to teach them and show them and direct them in their social activism. His purpose wasn't to do a standing comedy routine and tell them cutesy stories and funny anecdotes. Timothy was to go before God's people and preach the Word of God. Paul wrote to him, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and of His kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the Word." Now that may sound like a one-directional thing, but it isn't. Preaching is a dialogue. It involves both sides. I must preach God's Word to you because very soon the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear. He's going to judge the living and the dead. He's going to look to find you and me waiting for Him in saving faith in Jesus Christ. So I must preach the Word of God to you. Your part of the dialogue is that you must listen, that you must hear that Word, take it to heart, put it into practice in your daily life. Preaching is a back and forth between God's called servants and His people. We preach the Word because today is our day of salvation. You are to listen to the Word, to take it to heart, to believe it and obey it and put it into practice, because this is the day of repentance and strengthening for our faith. When our Lord Jesus Christ appears, then preaching will cease. God intends His heralds, and has always intended His heralds, His prophets and His apostles. Think of Ezekiel in our first lesson. He did pretty much the same thing there, didn't he? The Spirit charged Ezekiel, "Go to my people, a rebellious and stubborn people, whether they listened or not, and do what? Preach the Word." God has always charged His heralds, His pastors, His prophets, apostles throughout history to preach the Word. A herald has the power and the authority of the one who sends him. A herald has power and authority by the message that he shares. This is our message. This is what the Lord says. Our sins condemn us to hell. The atoning sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on His cross has paid for all of our sins, And God has declared the whole world not guilty of sin, and through the gospel, calls sinners to repentance and to faith. Luther wrote, quote, "There is nothing more beautiful in the eyes of God than a soul that loves to hear His word," unquote. The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news. Luther says the other half of that dialogue is how beautiful are those that love to hear His word. Nothing on this earth prepares us for the appearing of Jesus Christ other than the preaching of God's word. So Paul told Timothy, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Preaching the word involves a lot of studying. It involves a lot of praying, a lot of experience, and a lot of preparation. Preaching is both a science. I mean, there are objective realities involved in a sermon and in preaching, but it is also an art. It is also the development of skills that enable someone to share God's word in a way that people will listen to it and to hear it. It's a little bit like a pharmacist or a doctor who must diagnose the illness and then properly apply the right medicine to that particular condition of the person in need. The pulpit or ambo in a Lutheran church shows that it is the preaching and the application, the dispensing of that word that is the center and focus of our worship. The pastor uses a text. He preaches on a portion of the Bible to show people that thus says the Lord is what really counts. It isn't the size of the pulpit or ambo or its positioning that's important. The skill or lack of it in the science and art of preaching by a pastor is not really what's important. What's important is the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Paul charged to Timothy, preach the Word in view of the appearing and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But Paul also encouraged and charged Timothy to preach the word in view of false prophets. Paul's words written shortly before his death find meaning and application today. For a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Again, that's an idea of healthy doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. You did not call me to preach in this congregation so that I would tell you only what you want to hear or what you really wish Jesus would have said. You called me, and we call our pastors, to preach what we all need to hear, that we daily sin much and deserve from God nothing but His wrath and punishment. But you are all forgiven by Jesus Christ, by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has forgiven all of our sins. We preach the word because it is the truth of who we are and what God did for us in Christ, and how that changed the status of the world before God, and how our baptism and our faith gives us that status of His children through faith. But implied in your call that I will faithfully and regularly preach the Word is your promise and your commitment that you will devote yourself to hearing that Word. That when that Word is preached, you will be here to hear it. That when that Word is preached, you will take it to heart and we will live it in our daily lives. The time has come as the appearing of Christ approaches that many false prophets have gone out into the world not preaching God's Word, not preaching what we need to hear or what God says, but doing exactly as Paul says, gathering around themselves, or rather, people gathering pastors around themselves who will preach what they want to hear, to preach what they really wish God says and have changed so that God says it. These are the people who believe that the sound doctrine that my sins condemn me to hell is way too harsh. That the only way they say that when we say the only way to heaven is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, they say that's way too narrow. That's way too judgmental of other religions. When we preach the sound doctrine that God's Word is clear and absolute and given by the inspiration of God, they say that's too foolish and too outdated. In these last days that began with Jesus' resurrection, false prophets have changed the truth into myth, creation have exchanged creation for evolution, miracles for fairy tales, and the one narrow way to heaven to many roads. It's time for you and me, as your called servant and as priests of God in Christ, also to preach the Word, to share the truth of God's Word, even though we know, as the Spirit told Ezekiel, it's going to bring rejection, it's going to bring opposition. Everybody isn't going to listen to it. Some places it'll create hardships. Your congregation just isn't going to grow very quickly as when you would tell people what they want to hear. When you share people's felt needs and fill them, even though it has nothing to do with the Word of God. Recall what I said earlier about preaching the Word being a dialogue. And implicit in the Word, preach the Word, be prepared, keep your head, correct, rebuke, discharge the duties of the ministry, is that we stick to God's Word, the inspired Word of God, as it's revealed in Scripture. Paul charged Timothy, keep your head. And I'm almost sure that one of the pastors laying on the hands tonight, a Pastor Schmoller, are going to have something of this in their blessing of him. But keep your head means don't panic. Don't give up. Don't think, you know, the Word isn't working, I better try something else. Or maybe to be more popular, maybe to be accepted, maybe to get the burden of hardship off me and my congregation, we should try something else. Or just compromise a little bit here or there. And then everything will be better. No, it is the willingness and ability of God's people to want the preaching of the Word and to listen to that Word that is needed in view of false prophets. The best way to not get itching ears, which means a constant desire for the new and novel, is to fill your ears with the truth that Paul says has been handed down. Think of the pastors and the teachers throughout our lives. I think of my professors and some of you, your teachers. The Word of God that they handed down to you centuries old and the truth. Don't be quick to give that up just because it doesn't tickle your fancy anymore. Don't be quick to forsake God's Word, but use it for correction, for rebuke, for training in righteousness. The size and location of the pulpit don't matter. The skills of the pastor really aren't that important. The power and the authority for our salvation lies in sound doctrine. And that's why the sermon is one of the high points of our service. That's why we want our members and our visitors to focus on God's Word. I mentioned that the word sound means healthy. Like the doctor says, your heart is very sound. Well, it is sound doctrine that gives us the sound heart of faith so that pastor and people together can see to it that when we come into this sanctuary and when visitors come into this sanctuary, they see right away the most important thing is preach the Word. Amen.